Loud, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Welcome to the podcast. This is Dave Say, digital media designer.
I am Sid Caesar, photographer.
And this week is the first week that we're going to try to do regular scheduled podcasts.
Yes.
Every 2 weeks, Thursday, going to get in the studio here and make something happen. Here we are, just sort of enjoying the Michael Ballard as-is ensemble.
I'm totally getting
into this.
That
we're using as introduction.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. When's the next time they're going to be in the area?
Spring?
Spring?
Spring thereabouts.
Hmm.
And like every time I talk about them, if you are in the area and they're going to be performing, get your butts down there and check them out at Studio 99. Mm. I love them.
So we actually have an agenda written up this week.
We do. We have this whole little thing all like written, and I'm going to post it up here on the wall.
Okay. Okay.
There it is. Look at that.
Okay. Run the show,
cool.
Dude.
Right. All right. So first up...
Remember to talk into the microphone.
Oh, yeah. I have to talk into the microphone. That helps. I guess I'm going to take this off the wall then. What do we got on our little list here? So the first thing that we're going to try to talk about, you kind of covered during the opening, which was we're going to try to do this on a bi-weekly schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And after we were on Mark Cookson's show a few weeks ago,
which was awesome,
we decided what we're going to try to do is like we're timing ourselves for little certain periods of time to talk about things so that we can first of all, we don't want to – Dave, poor Dave – in the past, I've had to edit all of these down after we do them. And so in an effort to not edit them and just sort of record them live and then post them up with as little editing as possible,
mm-hmm.
we're going to limit ourselves to, I don't know, what's the best way to explain it?
30 minutes. We have a time limit. And now knowing that we can't go back and edit out our ums and uhs and stuff like that, we actually had to be on our game.
Yes.
And this would be a good Let me apply the walking technique. How does that go again? Instead of saying and then cutting myself off.
Well,
what Christopher Walken appears to do is he just pauses until the right word comes, and
right.
he doesn't care how long.
Well, it's not even that. It's like he said when he does his scripts, when he gets a script for a movie, the first thing he does is he eliminates all grammatical punctuation. So he gets rid of commas, he gets rid of sentences, he gets rid of periods.
Really?
And then he goes back, and that's how he comes up with his bizarre way of delivering lines.
Now, he does this because it has an interesting stylistic effect?
I don't know how I would imagine. I mean, now it's just to the point where he's done it for so long that, I mean, that's his whole shtick.
So he doesn't talk like this normally?
I don't think so. I think he's probably a little more... like regular, because I don't know. I mean, I've never talked to the guy, you know, personally or anything, but yeah, like that's his whole thing is like the urban legend is that he just gets rid of all punctuation from all scripts, and then he just kind of reads it and he pauses where he feels is natural.
I see,
but it's not really natural because it's
completely unnatural.
It is. So we were talking about that the other day, and so Dave was like trying to pretend to talk like Walken. And that would eliminate all of the ums and the ahs because Walken talks slower.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's got this crazy.
So yesterday we were visiting our friend Gary, who has a bunch of interesting vintage scooters.
Oh.
Oh, really, really beautiful. Really beautiful. And this is where we were. I was talking to Gary and I realized I was speaking much too fast for me to really put the sentences together.
Yeah.
So I slowed down. And gave myself time to think about what I needed to say. And it doesn't come out Walken-esque because that's not what I was trying to go for.
No.
But the mindfulness
yes.
about putting together the next set of words. It sounds a little awkward to me, but maybe with practice, it'll become better.
But then you'll be walking around pretending you're Christopher Walken all the time.
Well, I don't see the downside. Yeah. Weapon of choice, baby.
It opens up new doors for you when you talk like Christopher Walken. Because it's crazy.
It's crazy.
That way sometimes. And he's act. Excellent.
Excellent.
I should start doing that all the time.
You should start doing that. Well, you'd get in a lot of trouble, though, with Sarah.
You think so?
Well, I thought she didn't like the Walken
impression.
She'd
give me that. She just gets sick of it. Sarah is the most, like, she's good because she just lets me blab on and on. Like, we were last night, we were having dinner with some friends. And we ended up talking about something that the two of us had done, me and my buddy had done when we were really little, something really stupid. And of course, Sarah's heard this story like 85,000 times. So I'm, you know, saying it, and I'm just like cracking up because it's the funniest thing in the world, and like I never get tired of hearing about stupid shit that I've done. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards, she's like, you know, I just completely like tuned you out of the entire story. She's like, you were just like laughing and crying so much. You were like crying, I was laughing so hard and everything. And she just completely like just toned me out. So she gets a lot of credit for putting up with me never shutting up. Uh-huh. And it's a good balance too, because she's really quiet. Uh-huh. And then I just never shut up. So she likes that. Okay. She's a good one. I'm going to keep her. It's crazy.
So we're 5 minutes in. That means we've got about 25 minutes left. So awesome. What do we need to talk about this
All right.
Week?
So we got that. The other thing is on top of us doing a regular or a bi-weekly podcast twice a month, we need help with the name.
A name.
So we've been trying to come up with names, and I remember I was on vacation a little while ago, and I had sent a bunch of names to Dave, and Dave was like, "What? This isn't
I don't even remember what they were.
Omnidirectional.
What does that...
It's like everywhere. It's all around. Like it's and it says omnidirectional.
What
on
does
the
it
microphone.
Say about you? About us? I mean, if you're gonna have a podcast, it has to be something. You know, what's the unique quality the combination of Caesar and say?
Say.
I got
sir.
Confused. Yes. Which name is mine? Yeah. What does it say about it? We're all over the place, which I guess is kind of accurate.
Exactly.
What was one of the other names?
I don't even remember now.
Yeah.
I don't remember the rest of them more. But yeah, they were struck down through text message while we were on our way up to Pittsburgh. Yes. You're like, meh, no.
You didn't just get the awesome, let's go with it. It's just like, let's discuss.
Yes. So returning to those of, you know, the five people that listen to this.
Yeah.
Please help us out. Come up with some ideas. We don't know what to call it. We don't want to just call it, I mean, what was it called now? The Unnamed Podcast?
It's called The Unnamed Podcast. That's how it is on the iTunes.
Yes. So we need a name. And so if anybody has any ideas, please, please contribute.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you come up with one that we can't live without and we want to use, then we'll get you on the podcast.
Yeah.
Come in and that'd be hang
great.
Out with us.
Let's see how
to our strict,
our
regimented
is.
30 minutes and we can see how it goes.
Yep. Okay.
But you've
burned up 2 minutes. What else we got?
All right. 1, 2, 3. What was going on the last couple of weeks? So we had Art Walk.
Oh, yeah.
2 weekends ago. And that went really well. We had a fantastic, the weather was gorgeous, which was really nice. And I think we got a lot of foot traffic in here. I think it went pretty well. I don't remember seeing any of the trolleys that the town was supposed to have. I don't know if maybe our building wasn't a stop.
I don't think the trolleys would come right up to the building. You were here the entire time.
Yeah, I was here the whole time. Yeah.
I didn't see anyone who walked on Main Street, but I was just there for about 30 minutes.
Huh. Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
So if anybody went and saw the trolleys and actually took like a trolley ride, because let us know how it went. Yeah. Because I was kind of hoping I could look out the window and see like, you know, trolley loads of people getting
balloons,
off and coming down. Yeah, exactly.
Happy people coming down.
So it went pretty well. We usually, the way I score a successful art walk, it's hard for me because I'm sort of more service oriented. And, you know, there's a lot of people in this building where they do jewelry and they do pottery, and you can walk in and you can actually like walk out with something that you can buy.
Yeah, you don't have stuff.
No.
People
so
love
it's,
stuff.
They do. So it's hard because they come in and they, you know, they see like examples of my portraits on the walls, and they're like, oh, is this a gallery? Like what is it? So we like the last couple of years I've been shooting people. We've been doing those free Facebook portraits.
Yeah.
And then those went up. They actually went up a couple of days after Art Walk, but I said they'd be up by October 8th, which they're up at. And those are at caesarphotography.com/artwalk2010.html. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, and I've seen a couple of them sort of have sprung up, which is really nice to
see.
So it went good. So usually we gauge it based on the second floor generates the most traffic. I think on Saturday, somebody from the second floor said that they got about
400 or 500
people. And I think we probably had right around 100 to 125. And that's usually pretty good. If we can get like a quarter of what comes in on the second floor, just because people don't like huffing up four flights of stairs to go to the top floor, and we don't really have a workable elevator that anybody can take.
What do you think you get out of of being open during Art Walk? Is it for exposure?
I do it primarily for exposure. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people talked about the work. I talked to I got a lot of like families that asked about family portraits, which I don't really advertise, but it's certainly something that I can do. Mm. And there was a lot of cards that left. I noticed a lot of business cards left, and a lot of the new postcards that I had printed up that were sort of music based.
Oh yeah,
those left, which was really nice to see.
That's really cute too.
And yeah. I'm gonna do like a little blog entry about those because I'm very very happy with the way those came out. Yeah, so Art Walk was pretty good. So I think all in all, it was pretty successful. And it's taught me that my laptop is not able to shoot tethered.
Yeah. It's partly my fault, too, because I said, like, there's no way that just running your laptop, like, will blow the hard drive. And your laptop has, like, some issues, dude.
Yeah. And it's old. It's an old little 12-inch G4 PowerBook, which it was, you know, primarily I tried to use it as like an image dump. So if I did a location shoot and I needed to burn the images right then and there, I could just do that
that.
Or like, I could do some light editing if I needed to and stuff. And that's pretty much all it's ever really been. And then use it to surf the internet occasionally at home and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And but I think it just needs a new hard drive, which should be cheap enough rather than having to go buy a new computer.
We can try refurbing that, run it through Spinrite.
Yeah, that goes. Yeah. And then, and I've got that netbook, so we can always see if that can do anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So our arc is pretty good. And what else happened? And then I had another workshop. I had a private workshop this time for a private photography group up in Exeter, the Seacoast Photographers Group. It was private. I didn't have it listed. They approached me about it. A gentleman that took the workshop in May, who's a member of this group, came to me and said, you know, we've got a lot of people out in the Seacoast area. I think they'd be really interested. I don't think they'd want to drive all the way to Nashua to take it. You know, if we can get enough people, would you consider bringing it out to Exeter? And I was like, do it up, get enough people. And it was great. We had a beautiful Saturday. And I had my friend slash musician, Kelly Kipperman, who goes to Hampshire College. She came out for the day. She was sort of our workshop model. And it was gorgeous. The class was filled. And we just, I mean, they shot, the sun went down at like 7:15, and I think finally around like 9:30 or 10, we wrapped up. Like, we were still shooting after the sun went down, which was really nice. And and then hopefully I can get some images up in the next couple of days from that. But it went really well. I was really, really happy with it.
So you've done like, this is like your 10th? Has it been that many?
I don't even know. I've lost count.
Eight?
It's quite a few.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
So you're an old veteran of this now.
So, right? Yeah. So that's pretty much it. Like, I have one out of the studio this weekend on the 16th of October, and their space is still available to those who are listening who might want to take a off-camera flash workshop. So I've got that one on Saturday, and then I have one at the New Hampshire Institute of Art on the 23rd, and then that's it. We're done. We're done for the year. And then I'll sit down probably during the winter and try to figure out how I can, what needs to be improved and what needs to be restructured, and if anything like that. I need to learn how to deal with booking models a little bit better. And it's I like doing the workshops, but what I'm trying to avoid is it becoming like this full-time businessy kind of thing where it's like, you know, we need to sit down for 3 weeks and I need to schedule models, you know, a year out. And
why don't you want to do that?
I just,
would that make you feel better knowing that they'll be there? Like, you don't
well, that,
about
that
it
part,
afterwards?
It would like, I'm trying to avoid, I don't, I'm trying to avoid the, I'd rather be doing my own work than be doing nothing but workshops.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So, and it's just a matter of me just trying to work with models that are dependable. I've been booking a lot of people that just, I just can't count on them.
Right, yeah.
So it's just a matter of networking with the right kind of people.
Yeah. Well, you might set it up as a business where, like, if you split the proceeds with someone else who did all the management side of things. When I used to work at Interactive Factory, they used to, back in the 2000s, they had a very popular workshop program there. And they had a full-time coordinator who just coordinated the people, set things up, and the instructors would just come and do their thing. They would get paid, and that was how it went.
Yeah.
Then after the .com economy blew up, you know, the demand for training just kind of went into the toilet, and they shut the whole program down through lack of interest. But the idea of having a coordinator, I mean, if they could find someone who was like, you know, who was compatible with your goals yourself,
right.
Who knows? Maybe it's just a part time thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I should be looking into stuff like that also, because like I want to be working on my own stuff also, but you know, then there's design work as well. But I find when my head goes into the project management side of things, it sort of just, the greatest stuff just sort of drains out the ear and dribbles onto the floor, and then I can't find it for like 6 weeks. So I feel your pain.
Yes.
I feel your pain.
So, but it's good. So I'm ready to sort of take the winter off.
Oh yeah.
And figure out what I'm going to do for the winter. Since it's gonna be snowy and I can't do location work,
you can do snow
bunny work.
What else we got?
We had Art Walk and podcast. And so you were saying something about the emergent task planners are going in for another batch.
Yeah. Like I was looking at the inventory count on Amazon, and there's like 36 pads left. Which means like that'll take about a month to sell out. And
wow. So how many did you originally order?
250.
250.
Yeah. And so like, and I ordered those in February this year. So it's, you know, it's been about 8 months, you know, to go through that.
Yep.
And so I just had to email the printer today to see like what the cost would be to do a reprint.
Yep.
And that's kind of where it is. But but before I do that, I'm going to post a poll on my website about which design would people like to see this time. Because, this past year I went with like the super sharp custom ink plate design, two color, which is sharp looking. But there's something to be said about full color, too.
Yeah.
You can use more tones, more hues. It's just not as, like, the text just is not as tack sharp as you can get. And I'm not convinced it's as necessary as I thought it was.
Huh.
So if I could go, and also if I go to the four color process, with just a straight four color as opposed to custom ink plates, it's it actually could be a little cheaper.
Huh.
Especially if I go overseas or go to like a big print place in a local place. But I like using local places because it puts money into the local economy.
Right.
So I don't know. There's other products maybe I could do with that, like the things I want to get done this week, damn it, pads. which people tell me what people would buy. But I don't know.
Nice.
So I would have a script together, like, you know, $1,000 to test that.
Yep.
So yep. It's the good startup phase.
Startup phase.
Yeah.
Nice. Good. So what else?
Let's see. Well, let's take a brief break and I'll pause this and then we'll pick it up in a couple seconds.
Okay.
All right.
All right, welcome back after that very quick break. That was awesome.
Yep.
And I'm just going over my notes here a little bit. Oh, so there is there's a Richard Avedon show at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. If anybody is listening and they are a fan of photography and they're a fan of fashion photography, go to that show now.
He's like famous and stuff.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's so gorgeous just to see actual real prints.
Really?
Yeah. Like real giant, gorgeous, beautiful prints that he made from images. Mm. And they're just, it's huge. There's so many things there. It's just like, we went and saw it a little while ago, Sarah and I did. And I want to try to get back there before it's ending, because I want to see it again. It's just, it's very pretty. It's very, very pretty.
Down at the MFA?
Yep. Yep. Huh. Down at the Museum of Fine Arts.
There you go. And, I'd be up there for seeing that.
It's really, really cool. Just all kinds of famous movie stars from the past and different images he took for all the different magazines, fashion magazines that he used to work for. It's really, really neat. And it goes chronologically, like from when he started up until, it's like 1946 to 2010. Wow. Like it just covers everything. Mm. It's really nice. So so get down there and see it if you get a chance. If you're, like students at the Institute who are listening, like get your butts down there and look at that show. It's awesome. So good. And I don't know when's the next time you might be able to see like an entire chronological body of work by Richard Avedon.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Just go. It's worth whatever the admission is to get in and see it. It's very, very nice. And I think that's pretty much it. So the last thing that you have written down, you've been doing a bunch of blog posts recently. You've been getting like more actively back into blogging. Seemed like you took like a little bit of a, not a hiatus, but you just kind of died down for a little while.
Yeah, like I was busy with work and I really wasn't sure where it was going. I knew that it was important, but I didn't know in what way. And then it occurred to me one day that it seems that I do an awful lot of writing all the time anyway, even though maybe a lot of it is invisible. It's in the emails or it's in private correspondence, like on different services. But the writing is at the heart of what I do. It's how I linearize my thoughts. It's how I put things down. It's basically how I express what's in my head, which is good because otherwise my head would explode. And the writing itself isn't the end product. After I work out things through the writing, then I usually make something or some insight comes from that I can apply to something else. So I figured that regular writing would be good. And it seems that there's like a small handful of people out there who respond to it.
Yep.
And creating that connection with some audience or someone who's listening and sometimes responding is a good thing. Maybe that's an essential part of being an artist. This isn't like, I have an artistic approach to life, but I don't really do anything in the traditional artistic media.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly a writer in that I'm not a copywriter. I don't write for on a per word basis, you know, right. for money.
Right.
But nevertheless, it's what I produce. And you know, one of the insights from that was like, okay, if I'm going to, why am I doing this in the first place? Where do I want to go with this? And it came down to like, you know, there's I want to be really good at something. I want to be really recognized and great for something. But I've never really dared say it out loud. Because it seems like unhumble, and it seems like you're just kind of asking, oh, lightning bolt, strike me on the forehead and kill me, because I dare say that, like, I want to be good at something. I want to be at the top of my game. I want to be there looking down and seeing, like, what I have accomplished, you know.
Welcome to every, like, fine art artist's
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, you know? So I could couch it in terms like, oh, I want to help people. I want to save the whales or, you know, like... Yeah, but it ultimately is a selfish impulse, and this is something that I've always had difficulty expressing.
Yep.
Yeah, like I could blame it on being raised as a missionary kid, living with a bunch of amazing people who I only realize are amazing in hindsight. You know, amazing people who are doing mission work. They're on a mission. They're on this quest to do these things. But at the same time. You know, I can't really say it's their fault because I was, you know, just basically a very shy kid, you know, and felt I wasn't entitled to things.
Yeah.
And it's only now that I'm thinking, like, you know, it's all right to be entitled to things. Like, this is a marifuck, you know, after all, right? But, yeah, so, like, just, like, so I wrote a blog post a few days ago saying that, you know, these are the selfish reasons what that I have for doing something that I think would be cool. And since then, I've been sort of looking over my shoulder, looking for that lightning bolt to hit me or that bus that has my name on it. So it's like, you shouldn't be saying stuff like that. So that's kind of
But what you should I'm, be.
Yeah, you know, to dare to say what you want to do. Yeah,
and you should be.
So. And that's I think that's the path toward growth that yep. I have to be on. So it's taken a while to get to this place. And the writing is part of it.
Good.
Yep.
Good. And it's good that you're it's hard. I mean, it's as speaking as somebody that used to be really timid, you know, really like shy and bashful and not be able to say a lot of stuff, especially mm-hmm. when I went to school.
Yeah.
It's just trying to come up with the courage to especially like fine art because it's like and I know I say this all the time, but it's like it's bad enough that the arts are so frowned upon, but then like when you're trying to do something involved in the arts and you're trying to make a living doing it and people kind of look at you like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing that? Like you have to like right out of the gate, you're trying to validate yourself. And then like on top of that, you have to be like, you know what I do is worth money and it's good and it's valuable. And you know, some people will pick up on that and some people won't, but it's just getting out there and being like, you know what, this is what I do. And I think that I could survive off of this type of thing. And it just takes a lot of time to sort of do that. Some people yeah. can do it right away, but other yeah. people, they need to sort of learn that what you do is, you know, it's like the internet is really big with everybody wanting free stuff right now. And you have to be able to stand up and say, you know what I do is worth something. And,
yep.
and that is entirely dependent on what the person wants to pay. But at the same time, it's worth something. Yeah. It's not worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just getting, you know, it's because it's like, you know, you ask a fine artist like, oh, this is a gorgeous painting. How much do you want for that? And they're like, well, I don't know. You know, I you could have it. And they're like, what? You know, and it's like, no. You have to tell me how much you want for it. And then they're like, $50. And it's like, it's worth more than $50, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, come mm-hmm. on. So,
yeah. Well, it's worth $50 if you think it's like a lot of the stuff I do, I don't think of as being very special. So I said, like, I can't charge you $1,000 for this. Yeah, but if you read these marketing books, like they on sales and things like that, it's really, you know, the value it is to the customer in that sense.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little bit different with artists because I think when you're a young artist, you really haven't figured out what your life story is or what your story is because you're just beginning the path.
Right.
But I think at least some people when they buy art, what they're buying into is a larger world. Like they're buying like a piece that's a portal into, well, maybe this one artist's particular struggle that resonates with the buyer's experience.
Yeah.
Or they may be buying it for certain prestige. So this is this guy is associated with this school of these things, and I think he's going to go someplace.
Yeah.
Or like, or maybe it's just like, I like it because it matches the couch in my living room, and I think it would be awesome.
Yep.
So I should pay her, you know, not more than the couch, but somewhere between like a $20 print and the price of this couch. You know, so there's all these different perspectives that people come from.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, but that takes some reflection, and it takes some ideas about like, well, what am I willing to let this go for, and why am I letting it go?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but yeah, for me, I don't produce tangible goods, and so it's people having to, well, they'll pay for design work,
mm-hmm.
because it produces something that they can use in context of their business.
Yep.
But the thinking work and the writing work, that's what I want to figure out how to make at the core of my identity, and I think I need to make it into a kind of tangible good. And by that, like it's well, and the blog is the most tangible thing I have. It's a collection of words. There's some good insights there. They're just scattered around. So condensing that into, you know, like a booklet or a process or some of the free design stuff that I provide, you know, like the Amazon pad, the pads I'm selling on Amazon.com is probably the first tangible thing that I've made from the design research I've been doing for the past 5 years.
Huh.
And you know, but like you have to price it at a consumer price point,
right?
So like, if I charge for all the time it took to come up with that, you know, you're talking about like tens of thousands of dollars a time. But people want to pay, you know, between $9 and $19 for something like this.
Huh.
The cost of production is somewhere around $9.
Right.
So to make it worth my while, like either I send 10 million of these things and make like 10 cents on each one. Or I had to price them higher, and then that means, well, what's the trade off? Like,
yep.
It's better paper. It's you're on demand. You're supporting this. You're part of like the Dave say, like, you know, figuring stuff out story. you know, it can be quite complex. And
yep.
Fortunately, I like thinking about these kind of things. And but you know, for I think a lot of people just want to create or express. You know, this is not the type of thinking that comes naturally
right.
to them.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's hard. It's difficult. And just they're not wired that way.
Yeah.
And they need to be.
Yep. Yeah. So we got about 3 minutes left here before the music starts to play us off.
Good. So what else? Anything else? Is there anything coming up? I don't know of anything that's...
Next to Halloween's coming up.
Halloween.
And
that's about it. And, trick or treat.
There's a bunch of website stuff that I need to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, like, there's things for clients that I have lined up. I'm working a lot. I'm actually working on a lot of life balance stuff type stuff right now.
For other people or for you?
For me. And also, it's related to the iPhone app that I was developing with the German guy.
Yes.
That's stalled right now because we realized that we had no idea what life balance really was. And so how can you generalize it then? But I've been doing a lot of thinking about that. Some would call it navel gazing, as like someone
contemplating your navel.
So it's like, I don't see what the point of those navel gazing. It sucks. It's disappointing.
Yes.
And I'm like, what is this? And I thought it was just a troll. I was posting like, so it's like, should I respond to this? Is this just like an attempt to like, you know? But then I reviewed like that commenter's like past commenting history, and they're all legitimate comments. So it's so I'm not quite sure how to deal with that. So one thing is like, I am not trying to write for an audience to please them. I'm trying to write for myself, for people who would find what I'm writing interesting. It's a kind of a subtle difference. I'm not writing to the market. I'm writing for a market that's already found me.
Okay.
And it's a very slow, organic kind of growth that happens there.
Huh.
You know, but at the same time, these comments hit kind of hard because, like, you know, it does come across as navel gazing sometimes. Like, I'm thinking about a lot of things that are important to me, and I'm trying to work them out, and I'm working it out publicly because I figure there's some people out there going through the same exact thing. And when you read that, kind of, so someone else is going through this and this is what they're thinking, that's really helpful.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I wish I had more of when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But then there's people who just want the, I want to press the shiny button and know I have the answer and know that this is like guaranteed to work.
Yeah, just give it to me.
Yeah.
And so,
but that would be the way certainly to be more, to create a more popular type of blog post.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm kind of...
You got to make them work for it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah. So I guess we'll pick this up 2 weeks from now.
Cool.
Now that we have this format kind of worked out,
yeah,
we'll start having guests on there, on here.
Yes. So, yeah, so we'll put, like, links up to things that we've talked about, and I guess that's going to wrap it up for this thing.
Yep. That's it.
That went well.
So this is Dave Say, graphic designer.
This is photographer Sid Caesar.
And we'll talk to you soon.
We will see you later.
Bye.
Have a good evening. Crazy that way.
Yeah. I'm hungry. What do you want to eat? I can hear you humming through the headphones. You're gonna have to adjust the levels here. Okay, there's three stages that happen. This is actually the low warning stage.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, it gets loud.
Oh.
It'll get louder.
So this is still a warning stage? So we
could still be talking.
We could still be talking.
I'm still recording.
That's great.
Give us a walking impression.
What
are we going to have for lunch, Chris?
Dave, glad you asked me. Thanks for inviting me to lunch. I'm hungry. Hungry. I'm not quite sure where we're going to eat. Oh. Thank you.